I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Ings?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Weibel?
Present.
Under item 2, do we have any public participation? Oh. Item 3?
I thought
she was speaking also. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I have a correction, or I guess addition. Yeah.
Okay.
To the executive session, I would like to add discuss
employment
of personnel.
Of personnel.
Okay. Do we have a consensus to adding that to the agenda?
Yes.
Mr. Ings, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Ings?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weibel?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 4, Board Business Committee Reports, number 1, Community Engagement, Mr. Santelli.
Community Engagement Committee did not meet. However, we are putting together, I put together some meeting dates for Mr. Addis to be at different restaurants around town. And I will make another announcement about this during the board meeting. He will be at McDonald's tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to meet with whoever wants to show up there. Funky Truckeria, it's from 6 o'clock to 7:30 on Monday, September 24th. Casa Del Mar, 6 o'clock to 7:30, Monday, October 1st. And Houston Pub, 6 o'clock to 7:30, Thursday, October 4th. So anybody who has any questions, please show up and ask Mr. Addis. He has all the answers. if not, he'll talk to Mr. Shainer.
Thank you for doing that, by the way. And hopefully we'll have some people come out and ask questions. I think I reported to the board that the admin team, one of the three things that we took a look at, sort of our preseason, was community engagement. And so at our retreat that we took in Cleveland, we talked about a number of ideas, and Mr. Shainer is here. I don't know if you've presented this in terms of what's happening at your school with reaching out to family members, but could you just spend a minute or two talking about what you worked on with your staff and some of the results that you are feeling and hearing?
Yeah, we've really kind of taken it serious with the reach out to the community. We know the importance, and sometimes the easiest answer is what's right in front of you. And one of the things that I really encourage the staff to do, and I've been getting a lot of positive feedback from both parents and the staff, is I just ask the staff to make 3 positive phone calls a week. The parents, kids you see in class, they all have phones in the rooms. Pick up the phone and say, hey, Johnny did really well today. And just see the positives that can come from that. It was a great segue because I actually was 2 minutes late because I was making my own positive phone calls because I told the staff that, you know, I'm not going to ask them to do anything I wouldn't do myself. And it's been really neat to see because whether it's a student that struggles in school, and now all of a sudden, because it's so neat when you call and you're like, hi, is this Mrs. Smith? And yeah. And you go, totally positive phone call. Oh, okay, great. And then you talk, and then they're like, oh, wow, this is new. I haven't really come across this before. And some were so excited. Some have even, at least with me, I'm sure the staff as well could tell you their own success stories. But just getting people then to follow up with emails to me and just saying, you know, like the one in particular, you know, the phone call made my day earlier. I still can't believe that I got a call like that. From both your students who are, you know, your go-getters that are at the top of the line all the way to the students that really don't want to come to school, there's positives everywhere. And just pick a few out, make some positive phone calls, and I think that part, think that's been really great.
That's going to be really powerful because you have, what, 100 teachers in your building?
Well, teachers about 55, yeah.
55.
But yeah, there's various, but I've encouraged them all.
But 55 times the 3 phone calls every month, or every week, rather, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I, you know, some of the ones today I called were simply because I went in, I did an observation, and there were some kids that just, you know, they were participating, they were active, they were into the lesson. The one, you know, the one dad is like, wait a minute. So this is a good call. Yes, it is. So just trying to shift that mentality too. Just trying to shift that mentality for everybody. Trying to tell the staff too that sometimes when you got to make a negative phone call, this helps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It makes that a little easier sometimes too, just getting used to picking up the phone and calling the parents. I know as administrators, I do it all the time. You know, most of them are, you know, a lot of times we've got to call parents, but it's second nature. But just getting the parents to understand, you know, like, hey, you've got a great kid and we see it.
I have to say, I think it's a fabulous thing what they're doing. I've gotten 2 phone calls. The first was, what, a week and a half ago? It turned into like a 25, 30-minute conversation, and it was great. And then I received one today from a different teacher, and it was about a 5 to 10 minute conversation, but it's interaction with the teacher that a parent may not always get. And I mean, it is nice to hear that your child is doing something good in school. So I think it speaks volumes.
Yeah, I know I got the idea. I had to call my own son's school and talk to his counselor. And she was a teacher of his. And what sparked the interest, the thought for me was, I called her. So she was a teacher of his, and then she moved in to be a guidance counselor in the middle of the year. So I had to call her just to ask a question. And I said, hey, I'm so-and-so's, you know, dad. Oh, I just love him. He was one of my favorites. Now look, I got a teenage son. You know, I guarantee not every one of his teachers says that or whatever. But I thought, I'll be darned. I would have never known.
Right.
You know, would have never known if you didn't have that one-on-one talk. And I just thought, you know, how great would it be to just reach out and, so try something new. And again, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for ages. But just taking the time to do it, I think it's been great.
I think what's important from a district standpoint, and it is a school board committee, is that community engagement isn't out there to tell anyone that Norton City Schools is doing a good job, or even that the child had a good day in school. It is directly tied to student achievement. That's where community engagement and family engagement is tied to. It's a feel good, lots of feel good moments, but the research indicates that engaged parents that are engaged with that school district will lead to successful students. So ultimately, that's what you hope to build. You know, that parent may say something to a child that motivates that child, and now their academic achievements increase. So that's really the goal of this. It's more than just reaching out and feeling good about things. It's student achievement. So thank you, Ryan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's great.
Okay, technology and instruction. Angie, do you want to start?
Yes, I have a few things. We are still working on some dates for our technology advisory committee meetings. With the start and end times changing a little bit, we usually meet as a district, so all of our committee representatives from the building, we all meet together. So still working on maybe using that time change for subs to our advantage, and maybe we meet middle school and high school together, and then meet primary and elementary together. So hope to have those dates for the whole year really soon. We did get funding again this year through Best Buy for our Panther Coding Club.
Good.
$4,258. That will be used to purchase electronics for Raspberry Pi projects. These are things that kids can put together and use Python programming language to create different things. So looking at starting that sometime in the winter. And I wanted to mention that for Feed My Starving Children, the packing event on September 29th, it's a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. There is a news article on all of the webpages now so that community members and parents and everyone can sign up for that. Also, I know quite a while ago it was requested that on the district calendar where the events are pulled in, that a lot of the practices for sports were on there as well. So it seemed like there was a lot of sports feed on there. People oftentimes really are just looking for the games. So it took quite a bit of time, but I worked with Don Schimmick in the calendar and redid all the setup for practices and games. So now when they put something in the system, they mark it game or practice. And so now the feed only pulls games along with other school events. So we worked on that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was, I'm not sure if you're aware, but the eighth grade team got a grant through Arconic. It was over the summer it was awarded. It was around $21,000. They're three teachers. It's a math team. And today our maintenance installed one of the three Clever Touch panels in Missy Underwood's room. It's looks like an LCD, a TV display. It's mounted on the wall in place of where a smart board would be. And they're super excited about using that. Like I said, maintenance just installed it. And Missy called me. She said, OK, I have this thing. How do I get started? So went over there. I'm working to get her started on that. And they also got a Chromebook card through that grant as
nice.
Well. So.
OK, so what is this Clever Touch panel? What is it exactly?
Yeah, it's an interactive panel. It looks like a TV. It's 75 inches diagonally.
It's
so it's
like
very
what
large.
We have down in our office.
Oh, okay.
That's the demo back one. It's a little bit smaller.
Okay.
But, yes, they got three of those. And the smart boards are kind of dying off.
Yeah.
So we need to have a replacement for that. And we've looked at different things and talked about it. And it just so happened they were looking to write a grant. And so they included that, which is great, too, because we can all learn from their experiences of using those as we go down the road on, you know, how to do replacement for interactive panels. So, yeah, it's very large. It's very bright. So they right away kind of took the brightness down a little bit. The kids, even at the end of the day, they were very excited. Someone in the front row was like, yeah, I'll be able to help with that, you know. So, yeah, it's exciting. And kudos to them because they took the time to write the grant and they got it.
Are the interactive panels becoming more popular in school districts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Wadsworth has it in all the high school and middle school right now.
No more smart boards.
No more smart
boards. And the in between the smart boards was the Epson, the interactive projectors, to where you don't have a physical board really. You know, you have a dry erase board below it. It's mounted right above. It
right.
still does the touch, you know, kind of thing. Same idea, same concept, but a different way. So, yeah, moving away from the physical boards and now even going to like a panel. The brightness and the life of those last longer. They're kind of like your TV and such. So, you know, you don't have to have your lights off in the classroom for the kids to actually be able to see it. So, very clear.
Great. We also had a curriculum meeting. And before, Amy, you start talking about that, one thing that we have consistently tried to do as part of this committee is add more opportunities for our students in education and career planning and things like that. So that is something that we are continuing to focus on. And we are looking at possibly additional AP courses and an additional career tech program pending the cost. So I'll let you fill in, Amy, on where we're going with that.
So as far as that segue there, I went back and I did some looking at numbers and some number crunching. And this past year, when we sent those teachers for the AP training and the cost and whatnot, I was fortunate to be able to take some of that money that we get from the federal grants and use that for the education for those teachers for the summer institutes. So it really, it's a minimal cost when you think about the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. So it cost, you know, out of the federal grant, $4,210 for me to send three teachers to summer AP Institute training. And that included, you know, the lodging and all of that. And that was federal funds. So that didn't come from the general fund at all from the district.
And let me just stop you for a second. And that was to add AP History, AP Psych.
Yep. And it was AP Art History, AP Psych.
Art History.
We revised the AP Government summer program because, you know, that we had to do that. And then we were fortunate enough that Mr. Reinhart had already been through the AP training, so he just had to update his syllabus. So we actually got three new courses this particular year. So art history, psychology, and then language and composition. So those are the three new courses. So along with those three new courses, obviously the district does incur some costs as far as the textbooks and whatnot. We had to purchase AP psychology books. We had to purchase books for the AP language and composition. We had to purchase additional government books because the class doubled. We had, you know, two classes instead of one. We had to purchase additional AP biology books because that course doubled as a result of looking at moving ahead with these things. So overall, it cost us about $12,630 for textbooks for those four classes to be able to get them up and running, and then to be able to make sure that the new students have the necessary textbooks as well. The interesting thing when I was really looking at numbers is last year overall we had 89 students take an AP test. 89 students enrolled, 89 students tested. This year we will have 227.
Wow.
We have 34 students in AP government, 21 in psychology, 21 in art history, 26 in language and composition, 45 in biology, 19 in AP literature and composition, 10 in AP studio art, 21 in AP calc, and 30 in AP American history.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So hopefully moving forward this year, we can start looking at adding a couple more courses. I did earmark some money from the title funds again to put back for the teachers that are interested in doing that. So I have enough set aside now for at least two new classes, two new programs, if we can get, you know, the interest in moving forward with that. And one of the things about having the AP is we're hoping that, you know, some of those students will take advantage of the AP courses rather than necessarily leaving us and going for the College Credit Plus courses when you can get that credit right here in the school. So on the other side of the coin, I started looking at what our textbook expenses were. So it cost us $12,630 for AP textbooks. Mm-hmm. Last year, just the textbooks for our College Credit Plus students, I spent $20,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was over, you know, fall, spring, and then there were a few summer students. And that was basically Barnes & Noble, our Akron and our Wayne branch, Star State, and then Amazon for, if I can get them less expensive, obviously I go to Amazon, I max out our rental account, do everything we can to minimize the expenses for that. But I mean, it's a lot to look at when you think about that, so.
Which is not reimbursed.
It is not reimbursed.
No,
it is not. So that's where we stand with AP and so on and so forth. A couple of updates I did to the webpage as well. On the curriculum instruction page, all of the testing dates are in for all the buildings. I've updated the information for staff. The new fall test manuals have come out. I've updated those on the webpage as well. I did add the seal of biliteracy. We did have one student last year take that course or take that test. So the information is now on the website. It is on the website. It just didn't show up on our phone. But when you look at the curriculum page, it's on the left versus the right. And just a couple of goals, you know, that we talked about in addition to what you've already mentioned. I have reached out to Barberton. I sent an email today. Have not heard back from him yet. The assistant principal over there runs the Pathways program. Has got that started to help with the college and career readiness for their students. I've asked him to come to our next curriculum and instruction meeting if he's available. You know, and really that's where we are right now. So always looking at what we can do to add and, you know, save money. So that takes care of my end, and Tricia Ebner wanted to be here as well, but she had another commitment. So just to touch briefly on the gifted point of view, this year we've started the year with 50 identified students at the elementary. We have 141 so far ID'd at the middle school and 113 at the high school. Right now we have a district total of 304 identified students. She's already scheduled out with her principals when she's going to start meeting with those teachers, because the teachers are still required to do additional professional development. Whereas previously it was 60 hours over 2 years, the gifted operating standards have changed and they're giving us a little bit more flexibility in the amount of hours teachers have to put in. So they still have to do gifted professional development with her, but next year it is 15 is required. So it takes the burden off, whereas they were expecting to do 30, they'll do 15. And it will be the same approach that she's done, blended learning face-to-face, options at the ESC if teachers would choose to do that. And we're keeping our fingers crossed. The report cards are slated to come out this week. Don't have an exact date yet. I did get an email that says, you know, here they're coming, but we don't quit. I'm expecting Thursday or Friday. If we look at when they came out last year, the report card came out September 14th last year, which if we look at that date, it would be the 13th. So hopefully on Thursday, we'll get the district report card. So we're anxiously awaiting what that overall grade will look like. So that's what we have. Oh, and we are going to have Mr. Addison and myself, we are going to do essentially what we're going to refer to as a State of the Schools report card review on October 16th at 6:30 p.m. in the Performing Arts Center at the high school. So we are going to, you know, share out what the report card results are, what it looks like, and kind of give some explanations as to how we got there. So everyone will be invited to that. So it's the 16th, the report card review, our State of the Schools at the Performing Arts Center at 6:30.
Great.
So one of the things tied to one of the components of the report cards, when you're looking at preparing your students for success, would be something like AP classes. And as we've looked at preliminary information, I think last year, as part of our grade, one of the numbers was 86 students that took AP, or was it 68?
Oh, last year we had, in 17-18?
Yeah. It would have been the 16-17.
Yeah, it was less than the 89 that we had last year, but I don't remember the number off the top of my head.
So that number 89 is part of a grade that we receive as a school district, and it's tied into about 8 or 10 manipulatives that include students who take ACT that don't need remedial courses at college. You know, they'll score a state score that says, you know, it reaches a particular level. The amount of AP tests that you give, and all of these add up.
Mm-hmm. Honors diplomas.
Diplomas, things like that.
CTE, the Career Tech Industry Credentials.
Yeah, those things, and they all add up. So we looked at the numbers today. The 89 that's on this coming report card this week, hopefully next year will be replaced by the 227 that are sitting in our AP classes this year. And we have a record number of career tech students as well. So we think that that's a category where if we're not happy with the grade, that it will be better next year. And that's one of the things we'll break down with the report card, is it really is all about the progress that you make, you know, from year to year. So we're excited for all of that to come out.
Great. Thank you. Operations.
I don't have anybody to talk for me. Everybody else. No, operations, you know, looking back when we started our meetings involving kind of more than just the board and our goals, we continue to pick away at those goals. And one of the important pieces of the operation team was the NES parking. And you know, that lot and moving traffic off of the Cleveland Maslin Road, which has been very successful, to my understanding, as far as Brady talking with the parents and communication of keeping some traffic off Cleveland Maslin Road. However, one step further, we've contracted out to add a little drive in the back of the NES parking lot, which will allow us to move cars instead of basically three quarters of the way up the parking lot for pickup and drop off, all the way to the end of the drive, and keep traffic flow that way instead of turning midway through, and it'll be safer. It'll allow us more parking spaces. And not sure when, did we get an official date of?
Well, I think that we're looking within weeks. He's doing it in between jobs.
Okay. So that's positive news to go along with everything that's already been done. Moving on to the security portion of the operations team, we've continued to look at security measures. We've talked about and are implementing the BOLO stick. Those arrived.
They have arrived.
So those will be installed at some point in the near future. One step further than that, a discussion that's really never left the table is, you know, police in our buildings. So we continue to talk about ways to make that happen. Obviously, we've also made it known that that's in relation to funding and having the appropriate funds to do that. So I think we had a great conversation last week of looking at different options of potentially how to make that happen. So hopefully the parents and students will know that we continue to look at that. And then building maintenance, we discussed building maintenance. We need a little bit of maintenance at a few of our older buildings in which we've contracted out and will be in process shortly. But they've all been addressed and hopefully we'll get that taken care of. Make sure I didn't forget anything. Did I forget anything? No. Nope. So that's pretty much it. Cindy, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that is it.
Okay.
Well, the light at the stadium.
Yeah.
Did that get in for Friday?
He didn't get it done on Friday. No.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask, is there one on the other side? Because it would make sense to put them on both ends.
There's not.
Because I know, don't they grill over on that side?
They do. Outside the fence. So
yeah,
there's not one on that side either. Because I looked Friday. For whatever reason, there's something over there, though, on the other side.
Is there a pole? A light pole, maybe?
Maybe.
Because of that sidewalk?
Because of the walk, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's something over there, but I have to say I didn't look at dark over there. But it's sitting on the left side of the bleachers looking over to the left. We definitely need something over there. And like I was telling Dana, I mean, I was at Lowe's or Home Depot. They have those solar ones where you don't even really need electricity or run electric. It's just solar panel collects the energy and it's a
But we need a really bright one.
Right. Well, they make them.
They're really bright.
Yeah, they make them. So we'll see.
As long as you make sure it's pointed away from the field, you know.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Unless the other team has the ball.
Just move it each quarter.
That's a good point because that is a dark area over there.
By the turnstile, yeah.
So the operations committee has looked at NES a lot, and I think it's another item. We're doing a short-term solution that will contribute to the long-term solution there. And not only will our riders drop off down the way a little bit, we're adding some parking spaces there too. So Keith is going to stripe it. We don't know the amount yet, but I know right out of the gate, we're taking 30 cars off of Cleveland Maslin Road. And that was really the area where we held our breath the most last year. We had some pretty scary situations with people they had to get somewhere, so they passed on the left, you know, while parents were waiting to get in. So all of that has been taken care of. Our parents have been amazing. Brady did an all call, like you said, and gave them some options, and the next day they responded. So we're very thankful for our NES parents for doing that. But this turnaround is exactly what we needed for right now. While we look at, we have a number of options that we've talked about with operations committee and community members. I think some of those will come to fruition, but this is a great one for right now.
I have a question. Different points we've talked about, you know, putting a red line in the classroom to help increase decrease visibility if someone were to get in a building and not be, that way they're not able to see in a classroom as to if there's students in there or not. Is that still part of the discussion?
So we talked about that at our operations meeting, and one of the things that I guess I didn't mention is Chief D'Alessandro was there,
right?
And we had asked him, along with the red line, that's more of an internal process and continuing training on safety and circumstances within a school for our educators. But we've asked him to look at kind of the whole plan and give us his thoughts on that. But Dana, we obviously that was one of the key things. I mean, I asked about it and there was the red line. So I don't know what exactly we've taken.
So what we've decided to do is to price out. If we're going to do a red line in our rooms, it needs to go underneath the floor wax that is put down in the summertime. So it's going to be a springtime project if we decide to go there. What we've talked about in the interim would be red arrows. You know, school buildings have red arrows that will point to a fire extinguisher. And we've decided to make it an interactive lesson with our teachers and their own students, and for them to pick points on the wall where they can put the red arrows and maybe a line in the middle of the floor where the kids can talk about, you know, in a moment where we need to be safe and secure, we have to be behind this area. So we have priced out the red arrows. I haven't gotten anything back. But that's really, it looks like we're heading in that direction until at least next spring.
Okay, so maybe in the next couple months or something?
Yeah, it'll be, yeah, before then.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, Mr. Addis and I are going to a safety and security seminar on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So report back about that.
It looks to be the top organizations in the state of Ohio. It's at the Columbus Convention Center, and I really, it feels like to me that whether or not it's financial support from some of the big spenders in Columbus, it's an absolutely free seminar with some of the top school districts and top professionals in the state. I think in full support of what we're encountering as school districts, so I'm excited to see what they say.
And then do we have like a timeline for the Bolo sticks to be installed?
Well, they're down there, and I know we need to get together on installation.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Are you doing all of them, Pat?
Looks like. I'm still looking for teams to get together. Somebody who knows how to operate an electric drill.
It will be a combination of, you know, we are going to look to our community,
okay,
but also our own maintenance.
Right.
Combination.
Yep.
Okay.
When, as far as, that's the first that I heard that community or outside of our maintenance team was going to put them in. What are we looking at, like, times? Is it after school, before school?
At this point, it will be after school, possibly Christmas break, if we have to go out that far. We're hoping to get them in before then.
So we'd also looked at some possible Saturdays,
yeah,
where we could have a group of people come in and do it. But
set up some dates. Cause
yeah, we need
yeah.
to look at
not easy
the full installation of one and see what that looks like before, you know, I come in and operate a drill.
Is that, hopefully this isn't a dumb question.
It's
but,
not.
Is that something like our seniors for community service could do?
We might have some seniors in career tech or in a family business that have a comfort level. I don't know. I'd probably have to look at students installing those. We've taken a good look at community members.
Right, okay.
And what that means. There's probably a little, I don't know if there's ever total security, but there's a little, we have some things to look at.
That's fine.
Just wanted with that.
Well, if you guys come up with something,
we will
share.
Yeah. Now that I know that the Bolo sticks are in, I'll make sure that we put together some dates.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Finance.
We met the other day, and Stephanie is tweaking the five-year forecast. We have to vote on that in October. I don't know if you want to, the numbers just keep changing, so I don't know what, if there's anything that was earth-shattering that affected the forecast.
No, the thing that we're noticing or beginning to notice is a decline in our enrollment. Last year, the year before, it went down a little bit. Last year, it went up. This year, it's going down a little bit. Looking at birth rates for the past 10 years, the number of, and ours is a little bit hard to decipher because we share a zip code with Barberton, so just saying birth rates in 44203 doesn't help us a lot. We can pin them down a little bit and then follow those up to kindergarten and how many kids that are being born are coming to kindergarten, what's the difference in that. There does seem to be a decline, although every time I turn around, it seems like somebody's having a baby, but I'm not really sure where they're at. But apparently they're not here. It's not a huge decline, so it isn't anything that we have to panic about, but it's certainly something that we have to watch closely, kind of monitor, see where it's at. The high school next year is going to be really full, but the elementary schools are starting to have less students in them. So we're losing at the top end, you know, when we graduate 210 kids and we're only bringing in 160, there's a huge offset there. So just something we have to be aware of on that side of things. Doesn't affect our funding a lot. We don't increase our funding if we lose students, but we don't decrease it. It puts us on what we've talked about prior as a guarantee, that they guarantee that we'll get the same amount of money that we received last year. So that's what we're looking at going forward probably. The good news with that is if the pipeline money does come through like they're telling us eventually it should, remember we had the offset with the foundation because of our property valuations. Well, if we're on a flat line guarantee, then we don't lose any school funding or any of the funding from the state. So again, it's flatlined, but we're not going to look at losing money with the pipeline when that comes through. So we're just tweaking those numbers. We do a good count in October, so we'll see where those students are at, and hopefully there's some that weren't there. This is totally preliminary numbers that we got in the first week of school. So Ryan, I'm sure you can say there's a few more kids here than were here the first day of school. They seem to keep coming in, so I'm looking hopeful that they're going to increase a little bit.
So if I understand what you're saying is, and from prior discussions, if we continue to increase our enrollment and then pipeline money came in, there was a potential we would lose money.
Correct.
But if we continue to lose students and we stay flatline, when the pipeline money comes in, we don't lose any.
We don't lose any money, but yet we never grew to begin with in that line item. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it makes sense. Okay.
I have two questions. When is, do you know, it expected the pipeline money, and are you not, you're still not including that in your forecast?
I haven't included it in it. We haven't been invited to any discussions on it. I'm not really sure why, because I know all the treasurers in Medina County were invited to a meeting that Nexus had. So I've gotten my information through them and then through a discussion, or not a discussion, but a webinar that Dana and I sat through. Originally, we were looking at the pipeline not being completed until 2019. Now their projections are 2018, which could move everything up 1 year. If they run gas through it this year, 2018, it will go on the books next year, which means we could start receiving money in 2020.
They'll
where originally we were
months,
2021. I know, but they seem...
But they're starting to put it in ground. It's mm-hmm. in ground it's, almost it's everywhere
good progress
but
around.
Like the webinar that we sat through, they said if they decide to wait till January 1, then it's next year. It's kind of up to the pipelines at that point when they start using it. Okay. But they had told the Medina County Treasurers that they expect it to be functional in 2018. So that
so
could
basically
conceivably...
basically they spend 19 in evaluation.
Right.
And then money arrives. It's 2 to 3 years out. But
and
none
they're still
of the
recommending don't put it in.
This is really
in your budget.
Important.
Yeah, don't
this is
don't
really
budget
important for
it.
Our community to know. There are no local schools or school districts that are putting this money into their forecast, because we've been down this road before where there are promises of money and somehow something happens where it doesn't arrive. And then what happens is it looks as if you've let your community down, and no school district wants to do that. You don't promise that this is happening. That's fool's gold. So we're being extra cautious because we do want to take care of our taxpayers' money and, you know, be upfront and honest with them about everything. So that's really important, especially for people who come online and listen to these messages.
Well, and they said, too, if they run the gas, we get the money. But if they decide to run something different through the pipeline, mm-hmm. we get nothing. So we have no idea.
If it ends up being propane or what was, do you remember what the other one was?
Yeah. If
it ends up being something
different,
different
gas, we don't
we get
any
nothing
money at
from
all.
It. It has to be gas. And there's one other thing, I think oil. If it's any kind of a byproduct, we can't have it. So if they pump the gas somewhere and they did something and it's a byproduct of gas, then we wouldn't get it. But, I mean, they're saying it's a gas line, so...
I know they're saying
right.
it, but they said we are
but that's
get
why,
lottery money, too.
Right.
We don't get that.
So. That's why you don't include it in
and
your
I'm
budget.
Still, you know, I'm hopeful that the state won't do anything to change that, but a district like Cloverleaf, who's going to get $4.5 to $5 million a year, I find it very hard that the state's not going to find a way to...
Reduce somewhere else.
To reduce something. So, and if they're doing it for one, they're going to do it for all, somehow.
Right.
Yeah. So, we're just trying to be very cautious with it.
And the other thing we talked about, Dana, I don't know if you want to speak to this, is if the levy passes, if the levy doesn't pass, there's some Would you like to?
Yeah, I'll just talk briefly. We really are at a point where we want to work with the community more on how we are going to spend the income tax money. And I put together a document and put it out front tonight. It would include things like officers in our building, additional counselors or school psychologists, any technology. Angie and I have talked about the cost of a one-to-one initiative, additional high school electives, we talked about AP classes, an additional career tech program. And what we're going to provide our community is very specific costs to all of those programs. And then in a reach out to them through our surveys is we want to let them know these are some of the things that we've discovered we could bring to our students. What is it that they want to see? And in our relationship with them, really work together on how we can use this money and how we can serve them. What happens if it doesn't pass? All of those things that we've mentioned that are great for our kids are really not options anymore. And things like, we really are at a point where our class size average in our buildings will be increased. We really have nowhere else to go. All of the other areas were we hit pretty hard. And then we've looked at the possibility of participation fee being increased also. So those are some of the things that we talked about in the meeting.
When you say class size average will be increased by building and based on student schedules, that means cutting teachers.
It does mean cutting teachers. So for instance, yeah. You know, you look at a high school schedule, and if a high school principal is used to, let's say, history courses that are at 24 per, and he or she does the averages, and we determine that we are going to make that number 30, and you know, Ryan does the schedule or Joyce does her schedule, and the average becomes 28, we realize instead of 7 teachers, we only need 6. And so it will impact our classes. Without a doubt, it's the next area that we are going to.
Plus, it's probably going to impact the number of electives that we have available for our students. So when we talk about we're trying to add programs to have better and greater opportunities for students, this will have the opposite effect.
If you have to do it, and right. It's that reduction, then that takes that option away from us.
Right.
And so the community deserves to know exactly how much these things cost. So if you add an elective for a middle school or a high school student, you know, let's say we want to add a language. Let's say we want to add Mandarin Chinese. At a minimum, that beginning teacher is $36,000 a year. So what we want to do with this particular income tax is reach out to them, get them to know that's how much this costs. Is this one way you want us to spend this money? We've talked about a number of things. We talked about connecting with them on do they want drug testing at our high school. A number of schools have gone to it. So if our parents determine that that's an important thing for this school district, then this income tax gives us the option to look at that and take on that cost. So,
Chris, was there anything else that we...
I think you pretty well covered it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we'll be meeting again. But, you know, finances is just a moving target. Every day it changes. So.
We'll be meeting again in what?
A couple weeks.
26? September 26th, yes. I believe it is. 1:15.
Better count then.
At the October meeting, do you want to do a more, the board meeting, in-depth presentation about
I can.
The budget? Okay. Policy.
Policy had nothing to meet on.
Okay.
Did you see the update? Are you on that list?
I'm not. No.
We just got one last week when we said we didn't have anything. Okay. It came like the next day. So we need to schedule one, yes.
Okay.
Do you want to add something about third grade reading guarantee?
Yeah, I would like to, when you have that meeting, I would like, actually, Tricia and myself both need to probably come to that meeting because Ohio Revised Code states that the district has to have a mid-year promotion policy for students who are retained due to the third grade reading guarantee. Mm-hmm. And I've reached out to some other districts and looked to see what they've come up with.
That's the one you have to make up on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
okay.
The one that we have
yes.
to do on our own, correct.
Okay.
And I have put something together. I've given Dana a copy as well. but then we also have to look at the gifted policy. We put a draft in place last year, and we have to look at having it. So I know that you need, I believe, is it two reads to a policy?
Yes.
So Tricia and I would like to come to that next meeting, whenever it is, to share what we have in addition to your own updates.
Okay. Are there better days or times for you two?
We'll make it work. Okay. Tricia is typically in district on Tuesdays, but I mean, whatever you guys work out, just throw us on that email and.
I'm flexible, so we can.
Okay.
Great.
For policy two, we have to take a look at House Bill 318 and House Bill 216 and see if they impact what we have in our policy in some way. But we'll work on that. Both big bills.
Superintendent's recommendations?
None at this time, no.
Okay. At this time, can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss the purchase, sale of property, and the employment of personnel?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Drinks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. We are now in executive session. We are out of executive session. Could I have a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Ms. Drinks?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.